Yeah, Lord. Father, we thank you that everything belongs to you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for Lance and the gift that is to this body, Lord. And as he shares your word, Lord, may we give our hearts to him, Lord. May our hearts be open and those seeds fall onto fertile soil, Lord. So, Father, just bless his words, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beautiful. Let me put this on timer. Don't wear a watch because it means nothing when the preacher turns his watch on. So, sure. In the last few weeks, one of the things that's come up more than once is I'm the good shepherd and my sheep know my voice. And so, we're feeling in God as an eldership, we want to touch on that again tonight as I'm the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. And that's where I want to land, somewhere on that point. We could spend two nights just talking about how to hear the voice of God. And so I'm going to pick up some of those points a little later. And it's something that can be picked up in the community in detail. But for me, it's like, if I'm going to know the voice of the shepherd, if I'm going to know the voice of God, I'm going to need to respond with a heart of obedience to what he says. And if I'm going to come to a place of obedience to what he says, it has to back me up to a point of, well, do I trust the shepherd? Do I trust the one that says come? Do I trust the one that says go? Do I trust the one that says leave your son in a foreign nation? Do I trust the one that says seek me first, my kingdom, and my righteousness in every aspect of your life? And you will not need to worry about what you will eat or drink or where you'll sleep, because I will take care of those things. So if I were to say tonight, is the title following his voice or total obedience or what I'm calling it, blind trust? Blind trust. And so I'm not going to use those pictures. But I'm going to ask each of you, so tonight as we're sitting here, what are you willing to let God do in your heart? How far do you want him to go? And if you need somebody to help you pray, are you willing to let us pray with you at the end of the meeting? Or maybe you don't know Jesus, and this is maybe not even your first time, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity for prayer for that at the end of the meeting. So we're going to make space for you to encounter God in some ways at the end of this meeting. And I'm saying that now so that you can begin to position our hearts. Because I've found positioning of my heart in my walk with Jesus has been incredibly beneficial and helpful and necessary. So a little bit about me is, we got some elders in Josh Gen that are great surfers, and they all tell surfing stories. And we got Jacques, who used to be a game ranger, and so he tells bushman stories. And so it is. So in my family, some of us are flying people. And my late brother owned some airplanes, and he had a charter company, and he flew. And my son always wanted to fly. And he flew as a little chocker with my brother and his daddy, I want to be a pilot. And I'm going, oh no, here we go. And so my son learned to fly, and then he became an instructor. And he said, Dad, I can teach you to fly. And I'm going, oh, that sounds scary. And I had to learn trust in my son to teach me to fly. And it's okay, because when you're in the plane and he's your instructor, he's actually got control, and you're flying. But the day comes when you fly solo, and they don't tell you about that day. They prepare you. In their training manual, they have prepared you to a point where they're just going to get out the airplane. And so one day when you're doing circuits, he lands and he says, okay, Dad, go. You know what I mean? Go. It's like, and he just gets out. And if you don't go, you fail. That's it. It's like, you go. And you've got to trust that your son has taught you everything you need to come back alive. And for me, flying is a very sober thing. I've seen two airplanes crash and air shows and the loss of those pilots, and we've lost a family member in an airplane accident. And I had to fly. And that was cool. We got it. But then the day comes when he says, Mom, I want to take you flying. And that little airplane had a Volkswagen Beetle engine. That's all it was, really. We serviced it from Midas down the road here. Changed the spark plugs. And so I had some pictures. But Sue had to get in. And I was like, ah. There goes my son. and my wife. And they came back, you know. Trust. But there's even more than that. There's a thing in the flying world they call blind trust. And it's this thing. It works in the aerobatic world. In fact, it works in a number of places. It works, Chris Lewis used to fly as well, by the way, if he doesn't tell you publicly. He also had a license, but he also used to ride rally racing. In rally racing, they have a co-driver. And the co-driver is actually the driver. Because the driver just listens to the co-driver and does whatever he says. The co-driver says, second speed, medium, you know, second gear, medium, 45 meters, turn left, sharp left. And you just drive what your co-driver says. You've got control of the car, but he tells you everything you have to do. And if you don't respond to what he says, you both crash. But you're on the ground. But in the flying world, they call it blind trust. So I want to show you a video. It comes from a Netflix, documentary trailer. So you may have seen it, you may not, but I want to tap on it. And I'm not putting this over the Word of God. We've got plenty of Word of God we're going into. But Jesus used stories and he used parables. And so if you'll give me a little bit of grace for just on 2 minutes to watch this video, and I want to pick up on it and tuck it into some scripture. Is that okay? All right. So I want to explain some of the dynamics of that thing. There are four planes most of the time. There's six planes, but four of them do most of it. And they do it as a team. And the lead guy, Astro, in this case, is the only one who's looking where they're flying. They've all practiced the sequence, but he's the only one who knows where the ground is, where the horizon is, where the sky is, where the marker is on the middle of the runway, and where the man at the end of the runway is with a flashing light. Those are his two pinpoints. Nobody else on the team looks at the ground. They look at him. It's called blind trust. If he makes a mistake, they all make a mistake. And it works like this. They fly at 18 inches. So put your hands up. That's how far they are to the next plane. It's an arm length from my plane to your plane. It's close enough to see the cracks on a paint. So if you can go riding down the freeway at 400 kilometers an hour, you're going half their speed, and you're not looking where you're going. You're looking at the car next to him, and it's close enough to see the patchwork on his paint. That's kind of what it's like. You're in full trust of him. If you and four planes become one aerodynamically, they pull so close that the air over the wings is not separate over each plane with its own aerodynamic lift. They become one unit in the air as the wind goes over. So if one guy pulls away, everybody loses their lift and their ability to do what they're doing. If one guy is slow coming in, everybody's at risk. It's one body joined together with something which they call blind trust. A couple of years ago, they lost the whole team because the left wing guy took his eye off the lead guy and glanced at the ground because he was worried they were too low. And he drifts just too far and everybody loses lift. The whole team died. 3 years ago, they lost. That was one of the guys speaking there. So he was worried about G-forces. He was worried about his personal pressure on himself. So when they did the sky burst, everybody goes out, they turn around, they come back. Before they reach that point in the runway in front of the crowd, they've got to be back in unity before they enter their next point. And he's got to push maximum G-forces to come from the back and catch up. And they kept going in practice, pulling, pulling, pulling. And the day before the final thing, he feared again of the G-forces. He was scared he was going to black out. And so when the rest of them pulled into unity to pull up, he was not tucked in tight enough to catch the lift that he should have had. And you see, he just goes on into the ground. And they lost a dad and a friend and a team member. That sounds pretty bad. But when I began to read, I watched that documentary and I watched it through the eyes of understanding something of planes. And I began to see more and more my walk in Jesus. And how this thing of we are a family, we are a body, we are a unit, we are an army, we're a bride together waiting for a bridegroom. And so I wanted to pick up on some of those things. You know, as Josh Jen will say, we are a resilient people, which means we can take some buffeting and some, we're strong, we bounce back. We are a spontaneous people. We're willing if we've got a want to do something and the Holy Spirit says something, we'll do something else. If we can be going somewhere, we'll do what God says. But if we're going to be those people, we've got to trust and we've got to hear and we've got to obey. Because that's what we are as a people. And some things came out last night, yesterday, at the kids ministry, which I wanted to pass them on. Because they were talking to kids ministry and they gave these points. They said, and I'm putting them into our context. If you want to hear God to the place of obedience and boldness and a full sacrifice to see his full glory, you've got to be present. You can't come into worship and be unengaged, disengaged. You can't come when a prophetic word comes and go, that's not for me. You can't go to community and say, I'm just going. God caught my heart way back in like 1980. I think it was, I got saved in 82. In about 84, we came into a good church. And God just caught my heart and he said, if you want me to do everything I've purposed for you to do, you can't hang at the back. Because you're going to miss what I have for you. So I'm speaking to the front rows tonight, and I'm speaking to the middle rows, and I also want to speak to the back row. I do, because I used to be the back row. And I realize you've got to be present. You've got to be present in your expectations, in your heart, in your everything. It's like, God, I'm here. What are you saying? Have you got a word for me? Have you got a word of knowledge through me? Have you got somebody you want me to pray for? Because he says, I have put my gifts by my spirit in every one of us. That means every one of you is holding something that God wants to break open in us. And when it comes to the time of the sky burst and Jesus to get his glory, are you in with us or you're going to be lagging with us? And somebody goes home and God hasn't touched them because you had their word. Am I getting too excited? Does it make sense? You need to be aware of what God is saying. If you want to hear the voice of the shepherd, are you aware that he's speaking? When you're standing in the ShopRite queue, when you're on My City, trying to read your book, and you've got your headphones on, are you aware that he's trying to speak to you about the driver or somebody else on there who's going through a hardship time or lost a family member to cancer and he wants to touch him? Are you aware? Are you aware of what, you know? You've got to be aware. You've got to be aware of the gifts of others, the gifts within yourself, and available. Are you available? When that guy died on that plane crash, the day before the final thing, the show carried on for from the next day. Because they had guys on the team that were willing to train as hard of all of them as a second flight team in case somebody couldn't make it. And they would be so well skilled and so well trained and so well ready with blind trust that they would just step into his shoes as if nobody was missing, the public wouldn't know. Because they want to be extraordinary. Available. Are we available? Are you available? Are you available when the still voice of God comes through a meeting? You're going to hear it. Are you available? Intentional. Intentional to hear the voice of God. Are we intentional to hear the voice of God? I want to hear you. I want to hear you. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? You know, he speaks at the most unexpected times, the most unusual places. He really does. He's got a greater sense of humor than I do. You know, I think I sometimes have a sense of humor. But I remember joking with, and you know, we felt a stirring in God to plant a church. This is like in, I don't know, 1990-something. And I was like, yeah. So I said, God, if I'm going on holiday to see my sister-in-law in Europe, so if I see the Queen 3 times, I'll plant a church. And maybe you've heard the story. I'm like, just, oh my goodness. In 2 days, I end up standing right next to her. I don't even know it's the Queen I'm greeting. So that's how South African I was. Like the security guard's moving out the way. And I'm like, what's the problem? He's like, it's the Queen. I go, where? They go, oh, that's... I'm like, okay, God. And I wanted him to speak to me, but sometimes he totally catches you. If you're listening. If you're listening. And then you have to be obedient. Are we obedient? The trainer is that lady, that short lady trains. She flies in the rear seat of the back jet. That's where she flies. The whole training time. And her job is to just keep calling the guys closer. You're drifting. Because when they fly, they don't look in front. They look to the plane next to them. If you see the videos, you see them flying the whole time like that. They dare not look where they're going. They dare not. They fly just with straight onto the wingtip of the plane, which is just there. They fly like that. And she trains them from the back. In a plane that's getting that close, you can see the back of the front. That plane's over her head, and there's the wing. And she calls the shots. And if she calls it a few times and they don't listen, they're off a team. Because everybody's life is in danger. Not just them, the crowd. The crowd. Those that look on. Those that want to be enthralled. Those that are watching to see how good they are. And when we mess up, when we make mistakes, other people are watching. It's true. It's like, whoa. People are looking, they watch us, and I want to see Jesus manifest through you. I want to see his glory through you. So it needs obedience. I think that's... Jesus hasn't called us to be half faith, but full thrust. That's what he's called us for. He hasn't called you to be a half person. He paid everything in a full sacrifice so that you would see his full glory and give a full sacrifice. That's what he's called us to. He's called us not to be in control, but to surrender. Do you know that? He's called you to be surrendered. It's the whole thing is, Lord, I give you my life. When I came to Jesus, I didn't come to a savior. I was raised with a Baptist. My dad was a Baptist pastor. I knew all this stuff. I didn't want the things of the kingdom. So when I did come to him, I was age 22, I came to lordship because I understood that if I was going to give my heart the way I'd heard my dad preaching, it was a full surrender or nothing at all. And it was lordship. And lordship would demand full obedience and full sacrifice. And salvation was my benefit because my Lord would secure my salvation. And so I came to lordship and full salvation. He calls us not to lean on what I can see. This is interesting. But on what he says. Have you thought about that? Because the world shows us so much stuff all the time, all the time, all the time. He says, no, I called you to what I say, not what you can see. What I want to do is I want to read some scriptures. I'm not going to comment. I'm going to try not to comment on them. And I want to hear these scriptures just through a little bit of a shadow of that video. And blind trust. And just maybe you'll hear them a different way tonight. But I felt there were some of us that you hear God's voice, but you find it quite hard to be obedient because you're not sure you can trust. Somehow, authority figures, maybe even church leaders, maybe parents, maybe have said things and done things. You're saying, I don't know if I can trust God. I want to give him my life. I want to receive forgiveness. I need salvation, but I don't know if I can trust him with what I can't see. And I felt God said, I want to break that over some of us tonight because I'm calling you to full trust. And I'm saying it now that we just position ourselves. I'm willing, yeah, okay. You might need to forgive somebody. You might need to open your heart again to the same people to lead you again. I don't know. But you're needing to break that thing. And there's some of us that are saying, I just don't hear God speak. Because I'm going to mention some of the ways he's speaking. And I don't hear him. He doesn't speak to me. Can you get to a place that before we finish in the next sort of little while, say, God, I'm going to hear you speak. Because I'm telling you, he speaks all the time. All the time. It's not that God doesn't speak. We're just not managing to hear. For a bunch of reasons. Could be sin. Could be unforgiveness. Could be busyness. Could be not available, not aware, not intentional, not obedient, not present. That was my whole school life. Never heard the teacher do anything for years. Not present, dreaming, looking out the window. I never heard a thing. Okay, I'm going to go through some scriptures. You're going to try and keep up with me on the top. And I'm going to, for the sake of time and flowing, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Blind trust. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." Wow. "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Carries on. "Fixing our eyes," left, "on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Is this making sense with what I... Galatians 5, 24 and 25. "Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Exodus 3, 33, 15 and 16. "So Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people and from all the other people on the face of the earth?" This is the walk of blind trust. This is the walk of full obedience. This is the walk of unity. John 5:19 carries on. "Verily, verily, I tell you," Jesus says, "the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Goes on, John 12, verse 24 to 26. He says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and it dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And anyone who loves their life will lose it, while everyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, for where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me." I'm going to slow down a little, just let some of those sink in. Paul carries on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. "Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells inside you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and together you are that temple." One of the things that I fear in my heart is to criticize the church. Any church. It's not our place to be a Facebook warrior. Criticize like, "Oh, God. What am I doing? If anyone destroy God's temple." Do you know, I just thought back to that picture. One guy took his eyes off the leader because he was worried how close they were to the ground. And they were very close that day. But he drifted just enough to take the whole team down. I'm so aware that we are bound together as one body. Paul says, "You're one body, bound together with joints and ligaments and love." Can the eye say to the ear, "I don't need you"? Can you look down at yourself because you're just the toe? That whole thing in Corinthians, go back and read it. That every one of us, you know how beautiful that is? Every one of you. And those that are still at the wedding are incredibly vital to us. Because we are his temple. We are his body. Everyone, every gift that we carry. I said to a group of people last night, some of the young people, God has put gifts in you by his Spirit that you must not be silent with. It doesn't matter how silly it is. You need to bring it to the front. He's put gifts by his Spirit into our kids. Prophetic gifts. Utterings. New songs. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, hospitality, caring. Every one of them. Look out over our kids and see what's there and nurture it. And look out for each other in community. Come leaders, watch those that are just beginning to prophesy on a Wednesday. Encourage them so the whole body could be built up. It's the most amazing thing. When Jesus died, he doesn't die privately. He dies publicly for an incredibly personal encounter, which is not in secret, to bring us into a combined unity which becomes his bride. By nature, actually, some people, I'm an introvert. I need time on my own. I refresh myself on my own. That's my natural thing. But it's not what God's called us to do. It's not what he's called me to do. I can't make that an excuse to not do what he's called me to be. I can't not bring a prophetic word. I can't not bring a new song. I can't not preach if he requires me to preach. I can't not open my home to strangers if he asks me to do that because I'm an introvert. Because it's not about me. It's not about my character. It's not about my personality. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my likes. It's about, will I be a full sacrifice so the king can get the full glory? That's what it's about. Because he said, not my will, but my Father's will. I will go. I will die. Where was the last scripture I read? 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, 1 Peter. This is still 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You're still there. You also are like living stones, and you're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're being built into something. Every one of us. Everyone. John 14, 5, 15, 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask my Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you to be with you forever. This thing settled me as an introvert person, as a shyer person. If I love him and keep his commands, he will ask his Father to give me another, which overrides everything I can't do. And that is the Holy Spirit. And he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit that will guide me to all truth, that will convict me of my sin, that will show me the will of the Father, that will speak to me, that will interpret prophecy, that will help me understand Scripture. There's no reason for me not to function in the bride, because he will be in me forever. My precious wife, Sue, is the quietest until she got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes on you with power, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now the question I would ask, which is not on my notes, is, are we being his witnesses to the ends of the earth? Are you filled with power and boldness? Because that is a natural part of the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's natural. It has to be. You can't be a vessel of the Holy Spirit. You can't be a container where he dwells and there's not an overflow. So if there's not an overflow, then I would submit to us that be intentional and ask God, why? Why, if you're in me, is there not an overflow? If there's not a splashing of something. Now, when we're in Malawi, there were times we were talking yesterday with some people where we'd have no water in the house. No water in the borehole. No water in the pump. And you carry a bucket of water, and you're aware that it's 5 acres long from the well at the bottom to the house and then up the stairs to the shower. And you want to fill the bucket as much as you can. And you want to get all the way up there with spilling as little as you can because it's going to mess the house. But if you can get it with as much as you can, it saves you another trip. And it overflows. I mean, there's 9 people living in the house. There's a lot of overflowing happening across the house floor. As Isabel and Chris know, because Isabel's lived with us and she still lives in that house. When you carry the Holy Spirit, there's going to be an overflowing. There's supposed to be an overflowing. It must get messy. Have you thought about that? It got messy in the New Testament when the Holy Spirit broke into meetings. Chains fell off. People went free. Lame walked. dead were raised. Where are we? John 14, 21. I'm trying not to comment here. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Oh, man. Verse 26, again. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Now watch that movie. It's The Girl in the Back. Teaching, training, prodding, pushing, requiring more, correcting. It's exactly what we need. One that walks alongside us, teaching me, training me, prodding me, requiring me, directing me, convicting me, all the time. All the time. I need to hear that voice. I need to hear that voice. Romans 14, verse 7 and 8. We're nearly there. For none of us lives for our lives alone. None of us dies for ourselves alone. Wow. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So wherever we live or die, we belong to the Lord. This is serious stuff. This isn't nice Christianity comfort 01. This is 101. Matthew 10, 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Is that the most beautiful thing ever? Come on, it is. John 10, 4, 5. When he has brought out all his own and goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But when they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will flee from him because they do not recognize his voice. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. It takes us back to where we were last week. If we don't know his voice, we can't follow. We just can't follow. You know, I mentioned I grew up in a church environment. We never knew the Holy Spirit and we didn't know his voice. And so we had a bunch of rules to keep us going. And when I came to my young adulthood, I did not want a part of that because those bunch of rules weren't giving life. They were just giving pretense. But when I know his voice, I can follow him. John 10, 27. My sheep will listen to my voice. I know them. Oh. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. Are you known by him? When you close your eyes, he knows me. And you listen. And they follow me. He says, I will give them eternal life. And they will never perish. Oh, come on. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. So often I've heard that quoted, nobody will snatch out of the Father's hand, neither death nor life nor sickness. But where's the first part of the verse? Where's the first part? John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I want to take us to the last scripture. You're still with me? 1 Kings 19. Thank you. 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. I'm going to read it off there. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountains in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass you by. And if God said that to you, would you do it? I want you to go out and stand on Devil's Peak, for the Lord's going to pass you by. It's like, can I take a day's leave, please? I'm going to Devil's Peak. What for? Now, the Lord's told me I'm going to stand there. He's going to pass me by. And a great, powerful wind, southeaster, came through the mountains and tore it apart, the rocks before the Lord. The Lord wasn't in the wind. And we know this scripture. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the voice of the Lord said to him, then God spoke, what are you doing here, Elijah? I think some of us would stand on the hill, watch the fire, listen to the wind, feel the earthquake. And the busyness of life will catch us before the quiet voice, you know. God wants to speak to us. It's at that moment when you become present. God, I'm here. When the earthquakes of world life carries on, when the fire of busyness, when the rumors of war and famine and the stuff that comes through on the internet and all, it's like, am I present? God's about to speak. I want to encourage some of us that seldom come to the front during worship, or that sit with our kids at the back, or I just want to encourage us, you know. Those behind me somewhere. Can I say this? Because I used to be there. If you want to hear God speak and you want Him to use you, push a bit towards the front. Because when you position yourself amongst others with the gifts of the Spirit, it's contagious. You will pick up things. You will hear the Holy Spirit. There's less. For me, there were just way too many distractions. I was just, my kids were distracting me. My friends were distracting me. People going to the toilet were distracting. I was just distracted all the time. So I wasn't present. I just found it was really helpful. I said to Sue, sometimes she used to like, come on, Lance. I said, I never want to sit more than the third row. What about our kids? I was like, well, we're going to have to train them, won't we? They're going to grow up. Because if God, I want to get to the front. What if He gives me a prophetic word and I can't get there? And I miss the timing. And what? And then, so, you know. So, position yourself. Be aware of what the Holy Spirit's doing. It's not only the elders that can perceive what God is saying and hear His voice. You know that. It's not only us. It's not only adults. All of us can hear the Holy Spirit in a meeting. I was remembering the first, I'm going to tell the story, the first 412 conference, and then I need to start looking to ending. Is there time for this? The first 412 conference, it was at Lighthouse Venue. Might have still been called His People then, I don't know. And Paul Newton, if you're watching on the video, is now an elder in the 830 congregation, was a 13-year-old, and his sister had got saved into the church, and he just got saved, and they came to the conference. And remember, one of the other youth, he's brought into me and said, Lance, Paul's got a word. It's like, oh, Paul, what's your word? He says, I can see your army boot and the laces are undone. Okay. So what do I do now? I remember saying to the other youth leader, take him to Andrew. And Paul goes to Andrew. It's like, what's your word? There's an army boot and the laces are undone. And most of us would have discarded that. If it was one of those kids. And that word was released and it changed the whole course of that conference. In case it was instrumental in changing something across the life of Josh Jen. Because when he got up as a little 13-year-old, newly saved from a family that were not in the Josh Jen at all, he said, God has shown me an army boot and the laces are undone. And then the boldness of the Lord came upon him and began to speak. And he said, and we are called to be an army of God and we cannot go into battle with loose shoelaces. So Josh Jen, it's time we tied up our shoes. And he began to speak boldness over that. And it changed that conference. Now, my question is, what is the little whisper God has spoken to you? And are you willing to risk that whisper? What is the picture? What is the prophetic word? What is the unction of His Spirit? What is the scripture? What is the new song? What is it? Because it's there. And begin to be aware and begin to ask God. If you ask God, God, speak to me, He's going to speak to you. Because you're His sheep. You're His precious ones. You're His bride. And He loves to speak to us. So, having said all of that, let's get back to how to hear the voice of God. The first point. And I'm not going to explain each one because you can pick it up from your friends, from your community. But how does God then speak to you? Because if He's going to speak, I need to recognize how He's going to speak so that I can be obedient because I trust. He speaks through prophecy. He speaks through prophecy. It may come from in the front, from a microphone, into the whole context. It may come into the community on Wednesday, which is why I never miss communities on Wednesdays, because that's where God can speak very personally into the lives of people, through the people that are there. It may come in a public place out there. Prophecy is there to build up and edify and strengthen the church. And it comes from many of us. In fact, Paul says, I wish you could all prophesy. You'll speak through Scripture. So spend time in the Word. You don't have to do a Bible school course to read the Word. You just have to position yourself. God, will you speak to me today? If you're going to speak through as I read, I'm listening. Whether you're studying it or reading it or using a devotional note program, it doesn't matter. He will speak through Scripture. He's done it from the Old Testament days and He does it today. So get in the habit of carrying a Bible or using it on your phone or playing it on while you're driving. So that God can speak through it. The reason we don't hear is we're not in the place where He can speak. Is that okay? He speaks through tongues and interpretation. So we try and make space in our worship for a word in tongues. They're not coming a lot. They're not too much of tongues and interpretation. And I've got a feeling God's actually wanting to speak to us more through tongues and interpretation than what we are listening. And that's a scary one because personally, I think if you have the faith to bring a tongue, have the faith to interpret it. I don't know if I can say that of all the elders, but that's my personal thing. Like if I'm going to bring a tongue, I'm going to have the faith to interpret it. And the Word is pretty clear. If somebody brings a tongue, then wait. And that we know. We'll just say to the meeting, let's just wait on God. Let's just see. I don't think God would give a word in tongue if He hasn't given somebody the interpretation. Two or three people may come because, we sing in part. You'll know, but that's it. And then we respond. And then we obey. Could be for all of us. Could be some of us. Could be for you. At community, when you have worship times or you're breaking bread, why can't God speak through tongues and interpretation? Of course He can. He speaks through the still small voice. That means you have to still yourself. We have to leave our phones somewhere. We have to walk in the outside. We have to shut things down a little. We have to be expectant. So God, what are you saying? You have to wait. It's a little voice. And learn to trust it. And learn to obey it. Because it'll be there. I think for most of us, it'll be the most common way He speaks. Just by His Spirit into your spirit. And if you're not sure, you bring that thing to somebody. Somebody that you walk with, that you're accountable with, that's discipling you, to a comm leader. Say, I felt like God was saying something. Do you think it's God? That He speaks. He speaks through an audible voice. I remember when He planted the church in Fishhook. I was like, this was a big thing. Uproot my family, change schools, load everything in the car, a little trailer, drive across the country, start with nothing. It's like, God, I need to hear You. Why? Why should I do all that? Why? Why me? Why us? And He spoke. It was so loud in my spirit, it sounded audible. That's all I can say. I'm not going to claim I heard a thing you could have recorded. It was so loud, it wasn't a still, small voice. It was like, it sounded audible. Some people have heard an audible voice. But we cannot limit God. You can't sit there and go, no, God can't speak audibly. You can't. You just can't. He's God. He wants to show His full glory and give you an audible voice. He will, He'll speak through angels. He can speak through angels. He's done it in the past, and He can. He'll speak through visions. The vision is something you see. It's more than a dream. It's like, I see it. It's like, wow. You see it in your spirit. It's in your mind's eye. It's like, I have a vision of this. You'll know it's God. You will know it's God. But be open to it and say, God, I want to hear You. You'll speak through dreams. and learn to discern, this is a dream because I'm too hot. This is a dream because I had too much pasta. This is a dream because I'm angry with my brother-in-law's brother's cousin. No, it's like, learn to discern what your dream is. And teach your children when they come and have a good dream and tell you in the morning, what did we do yesterday? So they can learn to understand their dreams. We were taught that yesterday. When your kid comes with a nasty dream or a nightmare, sit down and help them unpack it. What did we do yesterday? What story did you watch? What video did you watch at your friend's house that gave you that thing? Because if they can understand their dreams and we can understand our dreams, we will know when it's a natural dream, a demonic dream, or a God dream. And God does speak to you through your dreams. But we'd better understand it. That's when I was saying, be present, be intentional, be available. You get it? Impressions on your spirit, the inner voice. It's a weightiness. It's like, oh, it's like you know it. It's like, discuss it at a community. For sake, I'm not going to go there. You'll speak through the people closest to you. Husband, wife, kids, best friends, community leaders, people, leaders. He speaks through your leaders, your elders. He will. I'll always take, if it's something with any directional change or any quite a strong obedience needed, I'm going to wait. I'm going to get a second opinion. I'm going to make sure I'm hearing right. Before I uprooted my family, we went to our elders. The rest of the eldership team, we went to the apostolic. We took people with us on the journey where we're going to plant. I was going like, but I've learned to do that on the smaller things. That's why if you have a prophetic word or a vision on a Sunday, don't just grab the mic and go for it. Bring it and say, I think I have this, because it's such a safeguard for you and for us. If you bring a prophetic word and you lay it, can I say, into the elder's hands, whoever's leading the meeting's hands, you have been obedient. You can sit down whether that word is released or not, and you stay in the favor of God. You know that. If we release that because we feel it's God, we're in obedience. We're in a good place. If we miss it, if we totally miss it and say, no, that wasn't of God, or we don't release it for whatever, it doesn't happen in the meeting, you still stay in God's favor for obedience and for hearing. And we stand accountable to God because we are going to be given account for everything that happens. So you can't lose out. That's one of the weighty things of being an elder is we're going to sit accountable for everything you guys do. So bring it. Bring it, bring it. Okay, that's the hearing God's voice. I wanted to say, talk about it in the community. Talk about it at home. Ask each other questions. How do you hear God? Explain that to me. It's like, because I think most of us, or should I say all of us, should hear God in almost all those ways. I really do. And I want to encourage you, don't be satisfied with the one way God speaks to you. Can I say that? Don't settle for the two ways you hear God. Don't allow yourself to settle there. Stir your spirit. Stir yourself. Be intentional. God, teach me to hear your voice and position yourself in other places to hear him. So we can be people who hear his voice, trust his voice, and obey his voice.